Hello, everybody. This is Dolores Cannon again tonight with the Metaphysical Hour. And I don't have any guests tonight, so it's just going to be you and me, guys. I'm not really sure what I'm going to talk about. I've got several different subjects I can bring up. But I would like it if people do want to call in tonight. We had several that called in last week when I was interviewing Harold McCoy. So I'm going to give out the toll-free number. The toll-free number is 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227 if you want to call in and ask questions about any of my books or about anything that I do. I'll be really glad to hear from you. But like I said, I'm not really sure what I'm going to talk about. There's various things that are going on right now in my life and my career and my travels. So I guess I'll be focusing on some of those things. So if anybody has any questions, I really would appreciate it tonight. Okay. Well, first I do want to catch everybody up. I know we had the storm here, and I did talk a little bit about it the last week with Harold, but this was the worst ice storm we have ever had in northwest Arkansas. Now, the last 2 years, they've had ice storms up in Springfield, Missouri, which is just across the border, but we've always dodged the bullet, and this time, we really got it bad. The wires were down, most all the poles were snapped. We had numerous trees that are broken off. I mean, these are huge trees that were snapped. And so many limbs all over the roads and everything that it's taken weeks just to clear the highways and everything to get people back to where they can drive again. We were out of power for 8 days, and you know, the amazing thing is you get so dependent on your creature, I guess what you call your creature comforts, that we just forget about what it's like until it's all gone. They always say you don't mess the water until the well runs dry, because all of a sudden you don't have power and it seems like everything just comes to a screeching halt. And it's amazing, you know, I live here by myself. I have a big fireplace, so I was able to keep warm by just staying in this one room, about 10 layers of clothes on, trying to stay warm, and just eating things that were cold, until finally toward the end, then the refrigerator begins to defrost, and all of that begins to happen. But it's amazing when all of a sudden there's no noise. We are so used to our lives now, where we have constant noise and constant things going on. Maybe it's good for us once in a while to just have it all turned off to where we don't have anything going on, where we don't have all this noise. We have the TVs going. We have the radios. We're always busy, you know, what they call make work, the computers and everything. And then all of a sudden, there isn't anything. And it's quiet. I live out here in the country, and with all the ice all over everything, there wasn't any birds, there weren't any deer. My kids are over in their houses, and they were upset because the business came to a screeching halt, too. You can't do any business without computers. And that's why another thing we've got to really depend on. The only thing that was working was the telephone. But it's amazing how we get used to just things going on in our lives, and our days just fill up with noise and with stuff. And all of a sudden, there's no sounds, it's just quiet, and there's nothing to do. The only thing you could do was read and keep throwing wood in the fireplace. But maybe it is good for us, because all of a sudden, we have time to think and to contemplate. We don't usually take time to think. I know I go to the ashrams a lot. I work with the different ashrams, especially I'm focused on the Sivananda group. I work with the ashrams and the swamis, and I go to those retreats. And they have their quiet times, But still, there's a lot of people around, and there is always talk going on, even though there's no TVs or anything. You go to a retreat to get away from all of that. But it's different when you're just in the house by yourself. There's no noise. There's no sound. There's nothing. Then you begin to come, well, I guess you would say, full circle to yourself. And you start thinking. You start contemplating. You start thinking about life. You think about a lot of different things. You think about your work. Think about your dreams. Because all of a sudden, that's all you have, is just yourself. And I think it's good for us every once in a while to get to that point to where we don't have the noise in our life, all the daily noise and the people and the distractions. So, but really by the time 8 days went by and the power came back on, you're glad to be back to normal and turn the television back on. But I don't think it hurts any of us to take time to be alone and think once in a while. You know, I have clients that come to me for all kinds of reasons. Oh, everything you could possibly think of. Everybody that comes has got a problem. That's what I work with. As a therapist, I work with their problems. Mostly what I see people for are physical problems. But also they have all these other problems. They have problems with their relationship problems. They have problems with their jobs. They have problems just in life in general, and they have a hard time dealing with things. So I have a lot of people that come, and that's what I do with my clients. I can spend as long as 2 hours just listening to them talk and getting to know them. That's what it's all about, because I feel I can't help them if I don't know anything about them. If I don't know about their life or what's going on in their life, there's no way I can help them because I don't know what's important. I know a lot of therapists, they just go in and you go out. You have a past life regression, and it's no big deal because they'll say, well, it was interesting, but what does it have to do with me now? Because the hypnotist doesn't know it can go further. They don't know there is anything more. All they think is just the past life regression. But that's only the very tip of the iceberg. Because what I've found is so much more. But it's just like going to the doctor. You only spend a few minutes with the doctor. He looks at his notes, takes your vital signs, prescribes another pill or something, and then he's out of there in only 5 or 10 minutes. A lot of therapists, that's all the time they allow. But with me, I want the person to talk to me. That is so very, very important so I can get to know them before I ever have a session with them. And I can spend 2 hours with them just letting them talk and just listening to their problems. I've had some who have said later, they said, you know, it was worth it just to come and talk to somebody who will listen without any judging, just to listen to what they have to say. They said that's so very, very important. Here again, you know, we don't listen. We just have too much noise in our life. We don't really listen to each other. But that was one of the things when I came around to that is I have people coming for all kinds of reasons. I have some people who cannot be alone. They must have somebody with them all the time, or they're terrified. And maybe somebody out there like that now that I'm talking, you know, they're listening to this. I have some that just jump from one relationship to the other because they cannot be alone. A husband dies, or they have a divorce, or the relationship breaks up. They jump immediately into another relationship without even taking time to, you know, go over what happened or to think what they want. They said all they know is they cannot be alone. I had a friend years ago when we were all in the Navy. We had our families and everything. She called me one day and she said, you got to come over here right now to her house. And I said, why? What's wrong? She said, I just discovered I'm all by myself. There's nobody here. And she was terrified to be alone. There was always somebody there with her. And I've always thought that was strange. I've never really worried about being alone. The key is to be alone and not be lonely. You've got to be comfortable in your own skin. This is one of the things I tell these people when they're talking about, they have to have somebody in their life. Even if it's the person who's not good for them, it's a bad relationship, they have to have somebody, or they're not whole, they're not complete. They can't be by themselves. I tell them, at the end of the day, when it's all over, we're all going to come to that part eventually, to that point. The end of the day, when it's all over with, you only have yourself. Nobody's going to be going with you. You're going to be making that transition, that last journey to the spirit side. You're going to go by yourself. So you should learn to be comfortable with yourself. Why wait till the last minute? You've got to learn to like yourself, be comfortable in your own skin, so that you can be alone, because you never know what's going to happen. We lose our partners, our partners, our husbands, through death or through divorce, all kinds of things. And then you have to learn how to deal with it on your own and how to live by yourself. So that was what I was thinking about, too, that when I was here by myself for those 8 days with nobody to talk to except on the telephone, I was thinking, I feel sorry for these people. This was a forced situation, but they cannot be by themselves. And I have lots and lots of people coming to me who are always looking for someone in their life because they feel they have to have somebody. Now, sometimes there's a legitimate reason. Sometimes they're lonely. They want someone to share their life with. And I hear it time and time again. They'll say either they've come out of a bad marriage or their husband has died or they're with somebody who doesn't understand them. And they're interested in metaphysics, but their person they're living with doesn't believe in it, and they feel like they give them a hard time about it. And so they'll say, I want someone in my life who thinks like I do, somebody who understands what I believe in, metaphysics or the spiritual side, somebody I can talk to who will understand me and won't think I'm crazy. I hear this again and again. Women are all the same thing. I'm looking for somebody. Then I'll have a man come in, and he'll be the same way. He said, I want a good woman in my life, somebody who believes like I do, somebody who thinks like I do, who I can talk intelligently with. So I get it from men and women. I've told them, oh, it would be nice if I could put you people together. It could hook you up together, the men and the women. Because I keep telling them, believe me, there are people out there who are looking for someone like you. But I can't do that. I can't, hook them together. I can't tell them about each other because that's going against client confidentiality. Somebody said I need to set up a match-making bureau or something to hook these kind of people together. And it would be good for them, but I just tell them there are others out there who are searching for the same thing, and you'll find them. You don't have to worry. You'll find each other if that's what you want. You send out your vibrations. You send out your radio waves. This is what I want. I want this kind of person in my life. And they will come into your life. But it would be good if I could put all of you together, but I kid no way I can do that. But these are the kind of people I have. They're either afraid to be alone and grabbing at whatever comes, even if it's very bad for them. It's hard for them. They really get their hearts broken so many times. Are they're there are people who are look searching and they can't find anyone. Really amazing, the different kind of cases that I give. We have people who have problems in their jobs, their problems with their families. Then I get the hundreds and hundreds of people who just come because they have medical problems. And that's mostly what I focus on and work with. But we've had a lot of success with that, too. Right in the middle of the outage, I could have got into town, but there's power at my office in town. But some people canceled their appointments because of the weather and the roads and the airport was shut down. But I had one young man who flew all the way from Japan. Now, I knew he had an appointment, but there was no way to warn him about all the problems we were having here. So he came all the way from Japan. And they've been doing that during the last 2 weeks. I had him, I've had two from Australia, two different women came from Australia, one from England, and a couple from Italy. And I don't encourage them to come that far, because I know it's hard. They have to take the airplane trip, they have to get a hotel, they got to rent a car. I don't encourage anyone to put out the expense to come here, but they're all searching for something. And so they come to see me here in this little bitty town in Arkansas, and it's quite amazing. Besides coming from all over the world, they come from all over America, too, and fly into the next airport over here at Fayetteville, Arkansas. But it's always amazing to me that they're willing to come so far because they need help. And that's a big responsibility on me because I feel this great need to help all these people. And I'm only human. I'm only one person. But I feel I have to do the very best I can to help these people. And you can't help everybody. You can't get everyone exactly what they're looking for. But all I can do is try to do the best that I can. And that's where I'm coming from. But it's always amazing to me that they come from so far. And they just come in, want a session, and then they go back to their countries or their wherever they live in the United States. I'm always hoping I've helped them in some way. The emails I get show that I think I have. That's the main thing. If they feel they've gotten something out of the session. Because I have found with my method, there's more than just past lives. That is just the beginning of the tip of the iceberg. But after that, you go into the part where I communicate with the higher self, the higher, what you want to call higher consciousness, the oversoul, the higher self, which I call the subconscious. And they said, we don't care what you call us. We'll work with you. It doesn't make any difference. That's the part I work with. That's the part that has all of the answers. That's the part that is the most important part because it knows everything. And I have found a way during the 40 years that I've been doing hypnosis, the 30 years doing past life regressions, I found this way to contact that very important, beautiful, loving part. And that's the one that does the work. I don't do it. I'm just the facilitator, the go-between, to put people in touch with that part because it knows everything. It knows you better than you know yourself. There's no way you can fool it. It knows everything about the client. And it can tell them absolutely anything they need, and it's very brutally honest, too. But yet it is so full of love that it will heal instantly. So this is a very valuable part that I've found out about. And this is the part that I teach as how to contact this. Because I began teaching my classes 6 years ago because there were just too many wanting sessions. I just can't do it. There are just too many. And they, the ones I communicate with, they said, start teaching. And I said, well, will anybody come? And they said, you start to teach, they'll come, because you've got to spread this. This method, they call it the therapy of the future. And they said I had to start teaching it. And I've been teaching now for 6 years all over the world. Those of you that listen to the show know that I've just got back from Australia and New Zealand, where I did 4 classes there. One in Perth was the largest class I've ever taught, 91 students. I'm teaching them everywhere, and to me this is fantastic that it's growing and growing. The reason I bring this up right now, too, is I'm getting ready to leave again, and I'll be leaving on Monday, and I'm going to England first. I'm going out of the country again. I'm going to be doing classes. I'm going to England first, and I'm going to be having a class in Norwich. So anyone who is in England who wants to take the classes, I'm not doing it in London this time. I did that in August. Now I'm going to do it in Norwich. And during this will be this next weekend. I'll get there. I'm going in Monday. I'm going to be doing a lecture in Norwich. I think it's Wednesday at the high school. You can get all the information about the venues, the places where I'm going to be, on my website. But I'll be doing a lecture in Norwich on Wednesday, and then Thursday I'm going to be doing what I call my level 2 class, or the advanced class. I'm doing it before the regular class, because some people would take a regular class and they'd say, okay, I'll take the second one too. But I want people to have been practicing my technique for at least a year before they're ready for the level 2 class. So that's why I'm having it first. And the level 2 class, the advanced class, is a one-day class. This is going to be next Thursday in Norwich. And on the website, it has, again, it has a venue. I think it's called the Maidenhead Hotel, I believe. I don't usually know till I get there where I'm going to be. But I found when you're doing an ordinary class, I try to give them the basics, how to do my technique, and then I want them to go and practice and practice and practice. But you can't tell everybody everything in the 1 3-day class. It's just impossible. They're just too much. And I don't want to overwhelm the person. My daughter says even the amount of information I give them in the regular class can be overwhelming because there's so much to take in. But I can't give them my whole bag of tricks because I've learned a lot in these 30 years that I've been doing this and developing the technique. There's a lot of tricks that I've learned that you can use with hypnosis, especially to get around resistance and the difficult cases. So when the person has been practicing my technique for at least a year, thereabouts, I want them to take the advanced class, and in that one day, this next Thursday in Norwich, for everyone who has taken the class in England or on the continent, if they want to come to Norwich, we'll be doing a lot of discussions about people who are having problems, people who are having difficult cases, are meeting with resistance. We'll discuss all of that at the advanced class. Because, you know, everyone could be hypnotized. Everyone. There is no exception. It's just that some of them take more work than others. And a lot of people don't have the patience to hang in there and do it. The ones that require more work are those that are usually left-brain people. And most of the time, these will be men. Men who are accountants, CEOs, in a position of authority or control. And they are very left-brained. They're very analytical. Those are the ones that require more work. Everyone can be hypnotized. Everyone can go. But some of them require so much work that the average hypnotist, and even those who have taken my class, don't want to work that hard. They want to give up. But I have learned the tricks of how to keep at it and keep at it. You break down the resistance, and then you get through to the person. Because I said, anybody who comes to see me is looking for something. I don't know what it is they're looking for, but they're all looking for something. And it's my job to help them to find that. I'm not going to have someone come all that way expecting something and then not delivering it because I gave up too soon. So I've learned the tricks on how to get past the resistance and how to handle some of the difficult cases. So I'll be covering that during the advanced class, and I've also got many other techniques that are alternate from the ones that I show in the three-day class, and I'll be going over a lot of that. And we do a lot of discussion, too, because I have found that my students are having absolutely miraculous results, and I think this is going to help the other ones that are just starting out. Some of them in Australia, who it was the first time I did the advanced class there, and some of them said, well, I did about two or three, cases and clients, and I couldn't get them to go under like you do. I couldn't get the results, so I just gave up. That's not enough. You got to get your feet wet. Any class you take on anything, any kind of healing, any kind of a class, you're not going to know it immediately. You've got to go and practice. If you take Reiki, if you take classes in energy work, energy healing, anything you take, you're not going to know it instantly. It all has to have practice until you learn it, and then it becomes second nature to you. Now, the ones who are really serious about this have hung in there and are practicing, and they're having wonderful results. Everyone who takes the class is not going to be able to do it. Some of them don't want to do it. I'm happy if I can get two or three who report back to me about the miracles they're seeing. But some people tell me, oh, I just take the classes. I go from one class to the other, taking all kinds of classes in all kinds of metaphysical things, all kinds of healing modalities. They don't know if they're going to use it. I doubt it. They ever will. But they just, what they call professional student. And they just, if they do use it, maybe they'll combine it all together and come up with their own method, which is perfectly fine. But there's some that have no intention of doing it. They just want to come to the class. Sometimes I can spot them, too. I can tell by the ones in the class. I'll tell my daughter, that one's not going to use it. I know they're not. They're not just here. It's a fun thing. They're playing. They don't really have any seriousness about going and trying to use it to help people. But, everybody's different. So it's okay. At least I have told them what I know. I have planted the seeds. If they use it or not, it's up to them. But some of the ones who are reporting back to me, we are recommending in Australia because they are having fantastic results. I can tell you about some of these. I know when I go to these other countries and I advertise my classes, they say you cannot say that you can heal people or cure people because that they don't allow that. They said the most you can say is that they will have relief. Well, it's much more than that, but this is what they say. When I do my work, it has to do with the mind. The mind is so powerful. I work with the client's mind because the ideal state of the body should be perfect health at all times. You shouldn't be sick. If you are sick, it's for a reason. You have made yourself sick. And people tell me, what do you mean? I don't want to be sick. Oh, there's a caller, I guess. That kind of surprised me. Is somebody there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay, you kind of made me jump because I'm sitting here talking to the wall, as I always do, wondering if anybody out there is listening. Okay, go ahead. You have a question?
I have a question about a lot of times when I get into a trance state or a meditative state or when I do shamanic journey, any time when my brain waves are altered, I tend to zone completely out and lose consciousness or go to sleep. And I was wondering if you knew anything about how to stay conscious when that shift happens so I don't do that so much.
Well, when you're going out, then you're going into the state that I work with. That's where you can get the most work done.
Oh, really? Because I don't remember, you know what I mean? I don't remember hearing anything that people said, or I can't follow the rest of the meditation or whatever. I just go out.
Yeah, that's the state I work with.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the somnambulistic level.
Okay.
There's where you get the results because the conscious mind is out of the picture.
Yeah, it goes right out. And
you know,
I fall asleep the same
mind
way at night, too. It just goes bam. It doesn't go slow. It just like
the other way, the conscious mind, it can't interfere and say, oh, I'm making this all up. But, you know, normal meditation, especially with the ones that are taught at the ashrams and things, I think they are more conscious. But really, you're getting more relief than you think you are because you are going out. Now, whenever you do this, are you doing it for a reason or just meditating to relax your body?
I'm usually just meditating to relax, or sometimes in a, like I'm following a public, you know, like there's a group and we're having a meditation or something like that.
Uh-huh.
I don't really meditate on my own because either my monkey mind is just won't shut up or else I'm out.
Yeah. Well,
there's not an in-between place very often.
Well, what I always tell people, if you're going to meditate for a reason, you can program this before you start to meditate.
Oh.
Say, this is what I want to accomplish while I'm meditating. And if you're focusing on physical things with your body, or if you want the answers to questions, you can, mentally program yourself to get these answers before you go under, before you start drifting off.
So then if I drifted off and went wherever that is, then maybe I would get the answers, like, when I woke up?
I didn't get that last part. What?
Maybe, you know, be likely to be there when I woke up or later on when I was thinking about it, or?
Yeah. How do you come out of it? Do you just have a certain length of time and you just can't wake up or what?
Yeah. Like sometimes when I use, something that alters the, you know, like binaural beat frequencies or things like that.
Yeah.
I go out and I just, you know, I come out, sometimes I come out in the middle of it or sometimes I come out when it's over. I don't know when. It just happens whenever it, because I hadn't even planned to go out, so I just come out whenever I do.
Okay.
I don't know.
If now that you know you do this, I would try to program it before you start in. When you're buried, before you go out, just say, I would like these answers or whatever you're looking for. And, you know, phrase a question or something. And then when you come out, the answer should be there for you.
Oh, that's fascinating. I should try that because I have tons of questions.
You could remember it then whenever you're coming back up.
Yeah, I could, because every once in a while when I'm waking up from regular sleep, I'll hear an answer that I was asking a question about.
Yeah, and you got to write it down or remember it right away or it fades away.
It does. It's gone in a second.
The way a dream fades away. So you
have
to write it down right away. But I always tell people, when you're meditating, you can do this. You can also do it when you're going to sleep at night, because then you're in a very relaxed state. It's very similar to meditation.
Yeah.
And you can ask questions just before you go to sleep, before you drift off, and then listen. You can do the same way when you're doing the meditation. Listen for the answer. It doesn't matter what it is. Just you ask a question and then listen and see what the answer is. And even if it doesn't make any sense, it's your answer.
Mm-hmm.
You can also program your dreams that way, too, to give me an answer in my dreams.
You know, I've been thinking a lot about that lately because most of my dreams, at least recently, have, I used to be a really good dreamer, like when I was a little kid, but now they're just fragmented. They're just a mess. You know, like I can't get figure out anything about them. They're just, they're like trying to put a puzzle together or something.
You got to remember, too, dreams are symbolism.
Yeah.
And they don't make a lot of sense until we start trying to figure out what the symbols mean.
I'm pretty good at other people's. I have this one friend who I know how her. I know some of her symbols, and if she tells me in dreams, I can always interpret them. And then I ask her, does that resonate or not? Because I'm just not going to say, well, this is what it means. I just say, well, it might mean this. Does that resonate? I can do that with her, but I'm not so good with my own.
Well, I have clients that come in, and sometimes part of what why they come for, they have pages of dreams, and they want me to ask about the meaning of these dreams while they're under. While they're doing the session.
Oh, because a lot of mine I couldn't even write down because they're so fragmented. It's like I'm here and then the scene changes and I'm there and, you know, it's really hard to even tell it back.
Well, I have some clients, they have dreams that just they can't forget. So when I ask the subconscious when they're in trance and we're doing the session, what it means is they always say, seek to understand. They said it's very simple. Think to understand.
Yeah. Had a few times where, well, I had one dream like that that I think about every now and then because it was fascinating to me. And then I've had another couple where they would repeat them over and over again, and I'd know they were trying to get my attention, but I couldn't figure out what they were.
I would say it's simple to them; it's just complicated to us.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you try that before you meditate again.
Okay.
Try to have some kind of a plan of action. Have some kind of questions you want to get the answers to.
Okay, and, well, thank you very much.
They will come. You just got to remember them when you come out. Remember the first thing, the last thing, I guess you would say, that's in your mind when you come out. Write it down, and that'll be your answer.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, I forgot where I was, but I do want to talk about the conference that's coming up. Well, I was talking about the classes first. Let me finish that. The classes are in Norwich next week. The advanced class on Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is my regular class. If anybody in England or on the continent wants to take these classes, go to my website and you'll find out where they're going to be, or you can call our office. But I think now it's getting so close in time, it would be better just to come to the venue on the day or contact me if a contact person on the website. If you want to take the class, it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the regular class. And our website is www.ozarkmountain. It's OZARKMT.com. And if you're in England or the continent, it's OZARKMT.com. And you know more about the class. After I finish in England, I'm going back to Moscow. And I'm doing a class in Moscow the whole next week. This is going to be interesting. I've done one class over there with a translator, but this is going to be a little harder, I think. This time I'm going 4 days because it takes longer whenever you're doing with a translator, back and forth and back and forth. I've trained people over there before, and we're setting up some more classes in Moscow. Well, this will be in Russian with the translator. So I'll be back here in a couple of weeks anyway. But so if you have any questions about it, contact our website. Look on the, it says schedules, and it'll be under that with classes, and you'll find out the venues and everything. Okay, I do want to talk about the conference that we put on. It's coming up in June. This is our fourth one. We have it here in Fayetteville, Arkansas. We call it the Transformation Conference. And it's growing bigger every year. This year it's 3 days, and we've moved to a bigger venue. It's a bigger hotel. We've got more room. And any vendors out there, this is going to be a really big one this year. Every year it's growing more and more. The Transformation Conference, and it's June the 12th to the 14th. That weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, June 12th to the 14th. And we're going to be putting up a page on the website. Hopefully we'll get it up before we leave about the conference. But we're very, very excited. Our keynote speaker is Helen Reddy. The Helen Reddy. And those out there who don't know her, she was the famous singer. And the one who was, "I am woman, hear me roar." She wrote that song. And we were very surprised that she contacted us. And we met her in November. She lives in Australia. She lives in Sydney. And she contacted us. And when we were in Sydney, we took her to dinner, got to know her. She's a wonderful woman and has a whole lot of information, a lot of knowledge. She stopped music in 2002, and now she has always been into metaphysics. Everybody says, "Well, Helen Reddy's a singer. What's she going to talk about at your conference?" You're going to be surprised. She has been in metaphysics her entire life. She's very much into these things, and she's going to be talking about her experiences and how they influenced her career all this time, and she's a really very fantastic lady. And she's going to tell the story, it's metaphysical, about how she came to write that song. She wrote the lyrics to it, the "I Am Woman." And she's such a modest person, she doesn't really even see what she what she has done. But she really influenced a lot of people during that time period. This is a really wonderful, fantastic lady, and she's going to be our keynote speaker. We're bringing her all the way from Australia to speak, and she'll be there for the whole conference to talk to people and mix with people. She's bringing her book that she wrote, her autobiography, about her life. So it's Helen Reddy, the famous singer, will be our keynote speaker. So I want to make sure everybody knows about this. We're going to be doing a lot of publicity in the next few months. And I'm going to be having her on my show, too, before we do the conference. But she's our keynote. We're also going to have many, many more speakers. You know, I always have the new authors that our company is publishing. I like them to come to the conference and get their feet wet, get their first chance to really get out there in front of an audience and speak. We're going to have Don Shoren again. He is the one that I believe will surpass Zacharias Sitchin. He has much, much, 10 times more information than Zachariah wrote about. Now, I'm not insulting Zachariah. He's a friend of mine. I like him. I respect his work and his knowledge. It's just that Don has come at it from a different angle and has supplied much, much more information about the seeding of the planet, you know, how life began on Earth, and about the ET's influence with life all through history. The same way Zachariah did, but he has done tons of research, and he has now written 3 books. The first book we published last year was about the elder gods, is what he calls them. We published that last year. The second one has just come out, and it's Legacy from the Elder Gods, and he has even more information of, you know, artifacts and things that have been found down through the centuries that nobody wants you to know about that dispute history. His third book will be coming out after the conference, and it's called Garden of the Elder Gods. So he's going to have a trilogy about these amazing things about history, the way it really is, that we were never taught in school. He's going to be there. He's going to be one of our main speakers. Of course, we're going to have Carol Pate again, and she was just on the show about a month ago. She's the psychic detective, the one who works on the murder cases, And she works on 400 to 500 murder cases a year. At least she said 4 or 5 a day. She's a regular on the Court TV Psychic Detective show, and she has just started the A&E Psychic Investigators shows on there. So she's going to be there on one of our speakers, and you know, she does investigations in Egypt with the Sphinx, the tunnels under the Sphinx. She's going to be one of the people we're going to have also. Oh, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. We're going to have Dr. Haynes Ely there, coming from California. Now, he's a medical doctor, but he works with John of God in Brazil. He's built a house down there, and he goes down there about once a month and helps John of God. And those of you who don't know John of God will be learning more about him. I think most people do know John of God. He's the one who is the psychic surgeon. He sees as many as 2,000 people a day that come in and out of where he is in Brazil. And he does the psychic operations on them and healing. And he's very controversial. There are a lot of people that think it's some kind of fake. But Haynes has been going down there for years, and he built a house so he can go down once a month, and he helps, works with John of God when he's working on these people, sits right next to him and watch what he does. He has wonderful videos that he has taken showing how John of God does the actual psychic surgeon operations on people. He's bringing the videos to show them at this conference also. And he also arranges for people who want to go down there and have the medical experience with John of God. He arranges the bus, the flights, and the hotels and everything. He will be showing the video. We have Nikki Patillo, who is one of my authors, is going to be talking about the new children. Her book is The Star Kids, about the new children, and it's like a, what do you want to call it, advice for the parents of the new children, and how to deal with these kids and how to raise them. I guess you would say like the care and handling of new children. It's also good for the children to read the book because they can see they're not the alone out there. They're not the only ones. So she's going to be talking about the new children. Another one is, trying to think of her names. We have we've done 8 books, new books, in just the last few months. It'll come to me in a minute, the woman's name, but she had Karen Peebles. She had a very strange experience where her uncle, who had committed suicide, now this woman is not that psychic. She doesn't have these kind of experiences, but her uncle that had committed suicide 25 years ago came to her in her house and began giving her information and talking to her. And he began telling her about what it's like over there when someone commits suicide and where they go on the other side, how they're taken care of. And he encouraged her to write this book from his viewpoint of what happens to a suicide once they go to the other side. And believe me, it's not depressing at all. It's very uplifting because you understand how much love there is on that side for these people. They are not condemned. They are not in purgatory. They're not in hell. They are worked with beautiful, understanding angels and spirits who really have to work with these people. And he tells where they go and how they are worked with on that side. So her book is called The Other Side of Suicide. And we were worried when these books, where they're going, people were going to look at them and say, oh, this is going to be a negative book, a downer. But it's really not, because he talks about the love. And this, he thought if people would read this, they would know. It's not easy, because when you get over there, you have a lot of self-examination to do. There's a lot goes on. And he thought people who are even contemplating suicide should know what they're in for when they get over there. It's not an easy out. That's what they said. There is no death. You're either here or you're there, but you're still alive and you still got to face problems. So she's going to be talking about what she found and what she wrote about. It's The Other Side of Suicide. Another book is a new one we have. It's by Antoinette Howard. These are books that just came out in the last few months. Her book is called Journey Through Fear. And we were also worried about that one. People are going to think this is a downer. But it's not. She talks about how we let fear ruin our lives. We get caught up in fear, and it is a very paralyzing emotion. It's the strongest emotion a human has. You don't understand something, you're afraid of it. And it's paralyzing. And she talks about how you work through all the different fears that you have in your life. And it's called Journey Through Fear, and she's going to be talking about that. All of these people that are new authors, we've got about 13 speakers, and they're no conflicting. They're all one after the other, so you'll be able to hear them all. I know I'm not saying them all because we just now made up the list. But we have more speakers this year than we've ever had before. It's a longer conference, the 3 days, and it's a bigger venue, and there's going to be really some exciting things happening. All of these authors I'll be having on my show as guests between now and the time the conference begins. I'll have Helen Reddy will be on the show and all the other ones that will be lecturing. So there's going to be a lot of good information in the next few months anyway. All right. But here I started out. I didn't know what I was going to talk about. I didn't think I would have enough to fill the hour. But here we are. We're coming to time to close. Isn't it amazing? Don, who runs the VBS radio, says, well, you can always talk. That's for sure. All right. But if anybody has any questions about my classes, especially the ones for this next week in England. Oh, and when I get back from England to Moscow, another week after that, I'll be having a class in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Anybody who's interested in any of these classes, go to the website www.OzarkMountain.com. Find out more about them, or call our 800 number, 1-800-935-0045, 1-800-935-0045, for information about the classes, about my sessions, and information about the upcoming conference. I'm going to be talking a lot about the conference between now and June when it starts. So anybody has any questions at all, just email the office, and while we're gone, there's people there who would take in your calls and answering your emails. So anyway, I wish everybody a good night, and thanks for listening.